38.
I can do that.
Just let the Spirit lead, brother.
Billy, you receiving me okay? I just want you to know, Billy, that I love you and Stephanie and all of your kids, but I sincerely hope that LSU beats Georgia. Get your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be reading verse 14. You can't hear me? Is this on? Can you hear me now? All right, before we read, just bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church, and we thank you for Steve and Mary. And we just pray that this Bible conference will go in accordance to the things that you would have to be done, and to give every preacher that comes up here that insight as to what needs to be preached for Christ's sake. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm just going to read the first part of this verse 14, okay? Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Okay? You are the focal point of this message. I seek not yours, but you. Back in 1943, I was 6 years old, and there was a popular poster that was posted around all the towns, and it says, a big picture of Uncle Sam with his hat on. He says, I want you in the army. Okay? Christ wants you in the service of His will. So I'm looking at that for my basic focal point. I seek not yours, but you. Or Obadiah, I'll say, I do not want what you have. I want you first and foremost. So that's what we're going to talk about, commitment. There's a word going around churches and all the time that I've been on this earth, and I'm almost 76, a commitment. It was used in churches as something you commit yourself to do something, or you commit yourself to a pledge so that we can have this building fund, or that we can do this, or we can do that. The same commitment is the same state of quality of being dedicated to a cause. Folks, grace believers need to be dedicated to the cause of Christ, to the cause of rightly dividing the word of truth. Think about it. Long before God ever created Adam, He was thinking about you. He chose you, the body of Christ, before the foundation of the world. So you are something special to God. And you need to be special wherever you are. You need to have a commitment about you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ. And what's the next word? Stewards of what? The mysteries of God. What is a steward? Come on. What is a steward? Administrator, caretaker, whatever it is. You are to be administrators of what? The mysteries of God. Are you? How well are you administering in your specific area the things that God wants from you? Okay? Look at first. No, go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians. That's where I want to go. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Those people I teach Bible classes to get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to say it again, and some of them are here. Words are important. Little bitty words are important. Ofs, the, at, but. Okay? They're important. How many of you have taken the time to read out loud verses and understand each individual word? I challenge you to do that. Look at this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We got two groups of people here, right? Saints are who? Saved. And what's the other one? Faithful. You can be a saved member of the body of Christ and not be faithful. So what you need to do is you need to be stewards of the calling which you are called and be faithful to go about doing that which you are called. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, listen, that you walk worthy. Walk worthy. That should be three times. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What's the word vocation mean? Some of you preachers, some of you laymen. The Greek word for vocation, folks, is an invitation. Wow. You know what? God has invited you to walk worthy after He saved you. He wants you. He's invited you to be all that you should be. There's a commercial that goes, that be all that you can be. What is that, huh? Huh? What is it? I forget what it is. Okay. That's the army. I are one of those. All right. Okay. All we have to do is accept His invitation. The fact is that before the foundation of the world, God chose you. He also sat down with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and they decided that they were going to create the earth, the heaven, and Adam. And He planned for Christ to come to earth to die for your sins. Long before He ever created the world, He decided that Christ was going to come. Now think about this. Christ left His home in glory, was willing to come down and become a man and die for you and for I. Okay? I think it's me. So what's correct? Is that right? The English teacher, whatever. He died for you and me, right? But that was that all He did? Huh? Praise God, He did something else. What was it? He rose again. Is that important? Without rising from the grave, you would not be justified, would you? I think the Scripture tells us that. Now, folks, that's what salvation is. And that's what a group of us preachers around here preach. Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again for your justification. There might be some who think otherwise, but that's what we preach. If you don't like it, Steve, they might as well get up and go and walk out the door. I'm sorry. You know, it's not my church, so, you know, I can say that, can't I? Ephesians 1:4 again. Let's look at it. Let's read verse 1 again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, the body of Christ, with all spiritual blessings on earth. Is there a difference? Are there going to be some spiritual blessings on earth, but you're not going to be there? You're going to be in heavenly places. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be, watch it, holy and without blame before Him in love. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I know it's in here. It was yesterday. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling. What's the next word? Little bitty word. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Did He choose you for the foundation of the world? And He chose you to be holy. And He chose you to be stewards of the mystery. How well are you carrying out your responsibility today? Matthew chapter 15. I don't know. Some of these people say that some of these preachers never get in the Old Testament or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but I'm going to go there. Matthew chapter 15. Before I give you the verse, I'm going to say this. Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees. Said in verse 8. Matthew 15 verse 8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Where's your heart? Where's your heart tonight? Where's your heart going to be tomorrow? Okay? Are you a faithful saint? Or are you just a saint? Go to Galatians chapter 6. I'm not going to do much talking tonight. I'm going to let the Scriptures do the talking. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. Some of you will want to tune me out from this point on. Okay? Because it's fixing to get touchy. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What does that say to you? Let him that is taught in the word communicate. What do you think that word communicate is all about? What? Well, the Greek. I know we don't need to go to the Greek, but the Greek says what? It's good. I love it. It says share or distribute. Let him that is taught in the word share with the teacher of the word. Sad to say, too many grace believers do not share with their ministers. Oh, it got quiet. Oh, it got quiet. You know, I have failed in my 34 years in ministry to preach about giving as much as I should have. That's my failure, and I'm sorry. But I'm on the downhill slope. And I don't care what you think about me. Okay? And I hope the Lord takes me tomorrow, but if He does, I hope that this pricks your heart, that you will be better givers to those who communicate to you the teaching of His Word. We talk grace, we teach grace, we preach grace, but I wonder if we ever think grace. Only you can answer that. Right? The divine influence on the heart. That's what you need to get You need to be influenced by your heart to do that which is right. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Anybody ever read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9? No? You did? Did you understand what you read? Look at verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. There's that word, grace. Look at verse 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7, therefore, as you abound in everything in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this, what's the word? Grace also. Look at verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Go to verse 19. And not that only, but also was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Do you understand grace? Do you really understand grace? Do you practice grace? Do you think grace? You want your preachers to be gracious to you. But are you really gracious to them? Are you? See, I don't have a church. But I can sure blast those of you who do and tell you you ought to be giving more. I don't care how much you're giving. You can give a penny more to the ministry of grace. You know what's sad is that there are people who are grace believers who donate their money to a preacher in Houston, Texas. You know who I'm talking about. His initials are Joel Osteen. I know this might not sit well with some of you, but I'm sorry. God laid this upon my heart about 3 weeks ago. And I built up on it, and I hope it does some service to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5. And this that they did, talking about these people, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us, by the will of God. You know, folks, if we would do that, give ourselves first to the Lord, we wouldn't have any problems giving Amen. To the servants. How you doing on that scale of 1 to 10? Where do you fit in that? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. When I was a pastor of the church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, I started passing the collection plate at one time that I got led to just put the plate back there at the back. And there was a little sign back there in the back. Mark, you remember? It had a sign. It said, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God doesn't love a cheerful giver. God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you really want the love of God in your life to be increased, cheerfully give. Not just your money, but your time. There's a need for people to give their time. So what if you don't have any money? What can you give? There's a lot. Go ask your preacher, your teacher. I guarantee you, he can tell you there's something to be done. Give. Not grudgingly or necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. The whole concept presented to the Corinthians and subsequently to you and me is to give us your perfect example. Guess who that is? Christ. What did He do? What was His example of giving? Himself. Gave His own life for you. Christ died for you. He's your example of giving. That's going way above and beyond the call, is it not? He died for you and I, we rotten sinners, so that you could have an abundance of life with Him eternally in the heavens. Give accordingly, and you'll have a purpose. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath... What's that word? Prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. God's not asking you to give a certain percentage, even though the percentage amount was long before the law was ever instituted. Abraham gave 10% to Melchizedek, and so did his son Jacob, or his lineage Jacob gave 10% before there was ever a law. That's just an example of what you probably ought to do. That's just something that you need to do. That's not the blessing part of it. But let's say in that verse, it, as the Lord has prospered him. Guess what, folks? If you only make $10, you ain't gonna make, but you know, not gonna be able to do much as far as giving money is concerned. But you can give something else. You can give your time in prayer, praying for that preacher, that teacher of yours. And I guarantee you, he will feel that. I know when people are praying for me, and I certainly feel that. And I know the rest of these preachers do. We need your prayers. We need a lot of prayers. These are a troubling times that's going on today. And I promise you, that everyone who stands for the truth rightly divided needs your prayers, because we're being attacked every day of our lives. Pray for us. It's important. If we do not have anything to give, that's all right. But when you do have something to give, give it what? Give it how? Not grudgingly or of necessity. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning collections for the saints, as I have given an order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. For on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no more gatherings when I come. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's go back there again. Verse 1. More of them, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, you and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, which is grace, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You know what? You can go in every book that Paul wrote, and you're going to see. He talks about giving. Not for the purpose of the minister, but for the purpose of the one who is giving to the ministry. Folks, that's the joy. If you haven't experienced that joy, get with it. It's time to do that. Okay? So, how are you giving? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, excuse me. Verse 1. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. I didn't even know they knew those kinds of words back in those days, did you? Superfluous. For me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest any boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Folks, there's a readiness that we have to get ready to go. Steve started looking at his watch, so that means I got to wind this down. That's probably 3 minutes. Here we go. Here's a quote from Stephen Dolly Jr., who is a commercial attorney from Gastonia, North Carolina. Where are you, North Carolina? You heard of this guy? A man who wants something will find a way. A man who doesn't will find an excuse. Uh-huh. That's the smartest North Carolinian I ever heard of. There are a lot of grace believers that have excuses for giving. It is evident by the number of grace preachers who struggle every day, every week to make a living. Let's look back at that opening verse. He says, I would not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Okay? Following came from, ironically enough, from a Jewish rabbi. His name is Harold Kashner. He says, when you carry out acts of kindness, you get a wonderful feeling inside. It is as though something inside your body responds and says, yes, this is how I ought to feel. When's the last time you had a wonderful feeling inside of you about your support for the ministry?